If you're listening to this, well, that just means you're probably one of our awesome patrons. This is a special Patreon-only First Impressions episode, except it's not really a First Impressions, is it, David?
No, it's not. We are Oh, sorry, yeah.
I'm Jordan, and with me today, as usual, is my co-host, David. Say hi, David. We gotta keep to this fucking structure, David. This is important.
Fuck. I mean, we're already changing it up. This is our first time we've ever created release content. Why I say released? You'll find out maybe one day. That has to do with something animated.
Oh, boy, that's amazing. What series are we covering, though, this week?
So, our lovely patrons had the option of three American cartoons that are anime-inspired, and between Samurai Jack, Megas XLR, and Teen Titans, we went with Teen Titans, so we are checking out, I would say, one of the standout cartoons from our childhood.
We are checking out something that we have both seen so many fucking times that, like, to call it anything remotely like a first impression is ridiculous.
Yeah, so for the record, we stripped out the guesses section because there's not anything to guess because we've all fully seen this show.
Oh, I'm just going to guess that this series is going to end with a really good ending that really ties everything up and maybe gives us, an entire arc on Beast Boy's character, probably.
Sure. I appreciate that the show very blatantly got an extra season when they thought it was going to end because the season 4 finale is called The End, and then there was a season after it.
Well, I just remember, did you ever hear, I think it was Paul Dini who talked about this, like why Teen Titans got canceled?
I mean, it went longer than it was supposed to be, which also means they didn't, everyone had like a season specific to them except for Beast Boy, so it shows that the showrunners just didn't give a shit about Beast Boy.
I don't think that's true, because the thing about Teen Titans is it was extremely popular and extremely successful, and, like, everybody has fond memories of this show. Mm-hmm. I remember this interview at, like, a con, and somebody asked, again, I forget if it was Paul Dini or not, that's the name I always associate with these cartoons. There's, like, one other name I always do, but I forget his name.
Tim Burton.
No,
or not Tim Burton.
not Tim Burton.
Sorry, Bruce Timm.
Bruce Timm, yes, it was either Paul Dini or Bruce Timm, and they were saying that the reason why Teen Titans got canceled was because it appealed to girls, and the show was only really supposed to appeal to guys.
Interesting.
They had a whole marketing segmentation
plan.
That's
kind of sad.
Yeah, so it's like it got canceled for literally being too good.
That's always the worst. What happened to Samurai Jack too, right?
The world!
The only source I can find on this was the actual Tumblr post where I learned it. Actually, nobody really knows why Teen Titans was canceled, but a good guess is actually low toy sales, which sucks. Anyway, back to the show.
Oh my goodness gracious. And then Jordan, though, do you mind telling us a little bit about what was the background of the creation of the series?
Yeah, well, this was created by Glenn Murakami and Sam Register, who I am not familiar with.
Yeah, I've never heard of them either.
And it was based on a little company called DC Comics, their world, actually. Did Bob Haney and Bruno Premiani create DC? Is that
no,
what
they created the Teen Titans.
Yeah, all right. But it ran from July 19th, 2003 to September 15th, 2006, with 65 episodes and a movie that I believe had a song written by Lil Yachty.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Are you thinking of the Teen Titans Go movie? Because I don't think Lil Yachty was doing stuff in 2006.
That's what I was thinking of. I forgot that Teen Titans itself had a movie that was meant to be like the wrap up of the series because I think Robin and Starfire actually kiss in that movie.
Oh, spoilers.
Oh, no. But it was succeeded by Teen Titans Go, which the OG show had a crossover movie with featuring Weird Al as Darkseid, which is a fantastic casting choice.
Teen Titans Go has, this isn't like a spoiler, but it has probably the best ending to a kid's movie where Robin's like trying to give a big speech and no one really cares. And he's like, I got to think about something that's going to have the kids talk to their parents after they watch the movie. Ask your parents where babies come from. And the movie just ends.
It's really good. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we have a ton of fond feelings towards Teen Titans. I don't think either of us dislikes Teen Titans Go.
I've enjoyed it. They actually make fun of Teen Titans Go a lot. There is like an episode where they just have a bunch of flashbacks to the original Teen Titans and they're like,
yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
The character's like, why did you cancel this?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And Teen Titans Go does have the same voice cast, which is nice.
I mean, it was a great decision because, like, what really, I mean, we'll get into it, but, like, the characters are so good. They have an amazing dynamic. But let's go through the plot summary. Episode one, here they are. It's Teen Titans. But first, let me tell you about The Hive. Okay, so there's three of them. Jinx, she's a goth girl who can make unlucky stuff happen, but really she just shoots lasers.
She's like Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, they're always like, oh, her power is unlucky. And, like, all I'm seeing is she's just shooting things from her hands and it's, like, blowing things up. So, I don't know. Mammoth's a really big guy. That's it. And Gizmo's a fucking nerd. Don't worry about it, though. We go to Titan Tower, which, for the uninitiated, is literally just shaped like a giant letter T-14.
Oh, fuck. That makes so much sense.
I know. What were you thinking?
They just talk about tacos so much in this series.
That makes sense. You know what? I understand why you had that misconception. But we meet our five main characters. Cyborg, a big guy who's also Mega Man. Beast Boy, an Animorph. Starfire, an alien princess. Who's just the best. Raven, the defining goth icon of our generation. And Robin from Batman.
Oh, yeah. I know Raven is, like, actually maybe the number one goth fetish awakening for teenagers of her generation.
Unquestionably. I really just cannot think of anybody who comes close.
It's really the level of, like, lesbian awakening Shigo caused for people from Kim Possible.
Oh, I think Raven had just as much of lesbian awakening powers as Shigo did. But actually, Shigo is, she's close in that running, but I definitely think Raven edges her out. But anyway,
for wake off or lesbian awakenings.
Anyway, due to a series of goofy teenage dysfunction where we learn about their tastes as characters, they wind up destroying their gross food and have to go get pizza where we learn about their tastes as characters. The Hive shows up and there's a cool fight scene where the Titans lose and get separated from Robin. Then Cyborg, Beast Boy, Starfire, and Raven, I just wanted to make sure we were all on the same page, retreat back home to the letter T, only to get followed by Jinx, Mammoth, and Gizmo, who kick them out and take over. Those motherfuckers turned their T into an A. I cannot fucking believe it. Anyway, Robin shows up from wherever he was and they win because it turns out that even though he has no powers, he's actually a vital member of the team in reality, blah, 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 blah. Gizmo says that he works for Slade. Robin asks him, who's Slade? Because if Gizmo had just said that he worked for Deathstroke, then Robin would know exactly who he's talking about. But since he said Slade's, Robin's like, who the fuck is that? But anyway, yeah, Slade was behind the whole thing. He's a bad guy and he wanted Robin to know who he was. So when he said who's Slade, that was actually all according to Keikaku.
Keikaku means cake.
Thank you, yes. Episode 2 is called Starfire's Mean Sister. Starfire and Robin are just trying to have a cute fucking moment watching fireworks when some squid robots, who, by the way, turn out to be cops, suddenly grab her away. But the Titans beat it up. Don't worry about it. Starfire's sister is here. Her name is Blackfire, and she's exactly like Starfire, except cool and goth. She is the third goth girl introduced in this series in 2 fucking episodes, and this is why the show is important.
Yes, I also want... I also, Jordan, what did you think that she shares the same VA? I do appreciate that she definitely has a very different speech pattern, but I thought that was a little strange.
You know something? I didn't notice that until you mentioned it, but I do like that because I mean, like, now that you bring it up, it's like, yeah, no, absolutely. That is the same voice actor.
You know, it's also the same voice actor as Nina in Gurren Lagann.
Oh, you know what? I think I noticed that when I was watching Gurren Lagann. Like, you know, these voice actors, these are pros. They get around to, like, so many different shows. There are still shows I watch where I'm just like, is that Starfire? But yeah, Blackfire is so much cooler than Starfire and tries to take over her life, wearing her clothes and even hitting on her man, Popcorn David.
Oh, man. However, it turns out that Blackfire was on the run from the Intergalactic Ball Federation. Good reference, Jordan.
Thank you.
It was trying to make them go after her sister instead. She's an intergalactic jewel thief, and the writer secretly had her put the jewel around Starfire's neck in an earlier scene. The cops just assume they were the same person because they're racist. The Titans beat her up, and send her ass to space jail where they're complicit in the exploiting space prison system, and it's well documented history of human right abuses.
That's true.
Robin then tells Starfire that she's actually a vital member of the team and they're both so into each other.
They're so into each other, dude.
You could tell the series was fantasy because, you know, Beast Boy unironically calls cops the good guys.
You know what, man, though? This was a very 2003 mentality.
And the fact that they didn't instantly assume that Cyborg was the criminal.
Yeah. They do, however, believe that all Tamaranians look the same.
That's true. I mean, in this case, they literally do look identical.
Oh, excuse me, one is wearing all black. No, but you're right, they do. I mean, it is like her little sister, but still, it's like...
Have you seen that moment in Teen Titans where Cyborg is like, I know what it's like to people look at you weird after I'm a Cyborg? This is the same era when in Justice League, when the guy called Green Lantern, you're a credit to your people.
I don't remember that.
It's when they kind of went back in time and met like the Justice Friends or whatever, they're the League of Justice. And yeah, so they're like these superheroes from like the 1920s. And he tells like Green Lantern, you're a credit to your people, son. And he just kind of pauses and goes, thanks.
You know what? I think when I watched that as a kid, I actually don't think I had any idea what he was talking about. But yeah,
now you do.
Now I do.
I am going to say 90% certainty Dwayne McDuffie wrote that line.
I mean, here's the thing. Going through these episodes, there are things that I definitely didn't notice the first time. But anyway, we gotta get to the third episode, entitled, Oh No, Where's Cyborg? The Titans fight Cinderblock, who literally nobody fucking cares about.
I thought I was supposed to read this.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, so the Titans fight Cinderblock, who nobody cares about at all, including the animators. He's a juggernaut, but more boring, and the Titans have teenage dysfunction again. That leads them into letting Cinderblock go free. Cyborg gets so mad he quits. Meanwhile, Cinderblock was stealing a guy for Slade. Slade wakes him up, and the lad is terrified to be awake, which is a mood. But it's also because when he's awake, he transforms into Plasmus, which is definitely not Clayface. I was going to say that too, so good call out. Completely different guy, because he's
totally
purple.
Different. Unrelated, totally different guy.
The Titans, however, are really sad about Cyborg, while Chill Beats to Study 2 is playing in the background. Robin can't even beat Cyborg's high score in Rogue Squadron 2 without a sad music sting. I thought that was weird. He beat his score by 3 million points instead of it like being beat, because he was like, oh, if I beat this one guy. And I was like, was that like one dude worth 3 million points in this game? Because he beat a 2 million score to 5.
I gotta say, I don't think I realized how funny that moment was until watching it as an adult, where it's just like they show the sad music stings and then all the music goes away and Robin's just playing a video game and then like he beats it and then it's like, aww, it was good. I liked that. But yeah.
There's a really interesting documentary about how this guy's dad died, and his dad set like a really great time on...
Wait, whose dad?
It's just a documentary about this guy whose dad died. He and his dad used to play... it was not Forza. Project Gotham. And his dad had like a ghost time and he would keep trying to beat it.
Aww.
And then he almost did, but he stopped right before finishing the race, because if he did that, his dad's ghost time would get erased.
Aww.
So it's a very cute documentary about it. But, oh no, there's an alert. Clayface is drinking radioactive waste, displacing the first known biological ability to fully synthesize it instantly. The Titans will not allow this to stand, as they are a bunch of fucking capitalist scum that want to destroy our planet.
Look, they're pro-cop.
Yeah.
As we've established, so, you know. They probably don't believe in global warming.
Yeah. They have a fight, and they're losing, but then Cyborg shows up, and they win. They make the guy fall asleep again, because it turns out Cyborg is actually a vital member of the team. Slade is mad about this, and by the way, Cyborg caught Cinderblock.
It's off screen. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, there's a lot of kind of rush thing. I think they forgot this episode could only be 20 minutes long.
I think that the Cinderblock fight was like, it feels like it was like editorially mandated and the writers didn't want to do it. So yeah. They were just like, I don't know, man, just put him in at the beginning of the end. It rhymes.
Yeah, and he's got some weird ass gun.
Yeah, and it's like wrapped around him when Cyborg catches it. I don't know what that was. But yeah, I mean, we may as well just get into the thoughts on the rewatch.
This actually is aged very well for a 20-year-old series.
Right?
Fuck, this is actually unironically almost 20 years old.
I could not believe how well it held up.
Yeah.
Fully disclosure, I am 100% blinded by nostalgia, but like, I feel like I would know if the show sucked on a rewatch.
I mean, you saw my criticisms. Like, yeah, I think you've got a bit more nostalgia, because like, I did notice that there were definitely just straight up animation errors. Like, did you see the thing I told you about with the walk cycle? That was just a complete fuck up, right?
The series copies a lot from anime, including totally inconsistent animation for budgetary reasons, which I noticed quite a few times in this show. But to be fair, there are also moments where the animation is actually really good.
They knew that they had to balance their budget.
I also want to say, I always knew that this show was anime. It's unavoidable. It's obvious when you watch it.
Yeah. The theme song is in Japanese.
By the way, that theme song was so good that it started a TV show. Nobody gave a shit about Puffy AmiYumi. They just liked that theme song, and then they were like, oh, they like the theme song. Let's just make an entire show. And it was like, it was fine, I guess. It was fine. But like, there's a lot of stuff I didn't notice the first time that is so anime. Like the backgrounds are like, or they have a hand-painted look in the way that like a lot of anime looked at that time. They had like this chill interlude in the first episode where like you see a bunch of scenery, you see trash watching up on the beach, and the trash is drawn so much better than you would expect for that kind of moment. The characters are kind of opining about how sad they are. And all the while, this chill, jazzy, like Persona 5-ish ambient background music is playing. And yep. I was just like, this is so anime. Holy shit.
Yeah, I completely agree. This is like a time capsule, really, of 2000s anime tropes. And Jordan, though, I actually was thinking about it. I think I've figured out what anime I think inspired the show the most.
What?
I want to say Fooly Cooly.
Really?
I really think the animation style, just the way that everyone talks, I think even like it feels like the way that they're voice acting. I don't know. It just really feels nice. Fooly Cooly came out like 3 years before the show, so it definitely had plenty of time to influence. Like if you rewatch Fooly Cooly, I think you can really see where Teen Titans got a ton of influence from it.
I do have to rewatch Fooly Cooly, but I actually do kind of see that in like terms of the aesthetic choices, you know, like the thing I was mentioning with like the ocean and the trash washing up on the beach, like the color palette in that moment, now that you mention it, is very Fooly Cooly. I think at the very least, it is heavily influenced by that era of anime, if for no other reason than that was the era of anime that this was put out in.
I mean, Fooly Cooly is the most anime of all time.
You know what? Kind of is. I can't really think of anything more anime than Fooly Cooly.
It's the Morbius of...
more fooling, you know? You know, Morbid Cooly. Never mind. This show is also way better than Justice League, if you go back and rewatch Justice League.
Yeah, Justice League, I remember Unlimited being a lot better.
The writing doesn't hold up as well as he thought it did.
Aww.
It takes itself a little too seriously. It's a little goofy. But the thing is that Teen Titans doesn't take itself seriously at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that like the moments that I actually remember thinking were like cringe as a kid, they just didn't bother me this time. Maybe that's just because I'm used to them now.
That's because you're cringe as an adult, my guy.
That is true. We all do become cringe as adults. Oh my God, I love Blackfire so much. Like as a kid, I thought that she just wanted to take Starfire's place in the group because she was a bad person, but as an adult it's like, no, the cops are on her trail right fucking now. They are right behind her. She has one option. She's gonna like switch places with her sister so her sister can go to jail and she can just avoid it. It's great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing about this show, it's very character driven and I would say a unique way. The series doesn't really have like an overarching plot, which I guess a lot of children's cartoons didn't, but every plot about the series is based on the characters interacting with each other versus them interacting with an external element, and that's actually fairly rare to see, I think.
I think that really helped the series because, like, you know, I heard somebody talking about Sonic versus Mario, basically. Like, Sonic has to be cool, and cool does not get to be timeless. And I think that's the issue with a lot of things like Justice League and stuff like that, where it's just like the things you think are cool as a kid just aren't as cool as an adult, and Teen Titans isn't trying to be as quote-unquote cool. Like, it's got like an awkwardness to it and a jokiness to it because like they're teens and they're immature, and I think it really helps it continue to be relevant when you watch it.
I also like the Beast Boy and Raven dynamic is definitely, I think, my favorite character pairing.
It's great.
Because it's such a weird contrast.
No, I totally get it. You know, it's like the classic, opposites attract.
Also, we haven't talked about Ron Perlman plays Slade.
Yo, best joke in all three episodes is like the very last scene of episode 3 where Slade gets so mad, he like smashes his teacup and then the butler standing next to him just replaces it with a new teacup. So fucking good.
I was surprised you didn't mention that in your plot summary.
Because I was going to mention it here.
Do you have anything else, by the way, that you want to say? Because I think I've really talked about the positives and negatives, but really the positives are this is a really fun time capsule. The series definitely holds up really well. It's got some good character writing, but definitely does have some kind of cringiness from those anime tropes. I am worried that some of the plot is going to get similar, because how many times can you have it where teammates have issues with each other and then they get together? Like, literally, episodes 1 and 3 have a very similar idea where it's like we can only win as a team. So I'm worried that they're going to keep repeating that message.
I think that they repeat it for each character individually, and then they're just like, you get it.
Yeah.
I give it some slack because it's literally the first 3 episodes and we don't know them.
Which is
fine.
But
you did point out a big issue, which, you know, I don't remember all the plots, but at least like at this point, the plotting is not super interesting. You're right. It is more about the characters, which I think was a good decision, I think, to focus on them more than anything else. But it does mean that the plot is like, there's holes in it. Like, where the fuck did Robin go?
Right?
Where the fuck did he go? It was just, they couldn't find him, and then he just showed up again. What was he doing?
His best.
You know what? That's true. Speaking of which, one of my favorite moments was in episode 2, where Blackfire is trying to take Starfire's man and is trying to pull Robin away.
She's trying to cuck Starfire.
Now, I was fully expecting for when Blackfire to pull Robin away, he'd be like, oh, sure, yeah, we're hanging out with Blackfire. She's cool. But no, Robin was like, hey, can you hold on a minute? I'm here with Starfire. Like, she's got an issue. I'm trying to talk to her. I'm trying to help
her. What a good guy.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, oh my God, that's awesome. Like, it immediately endeared me to Robin. It was like a tiny line, but it just totally endeared me to him.
Mm-hmm.
And no one gives a fuck about Cinderblock, whose name is spelled with a Y.
All right, so Jordan, though, do you have any other thoughts?
Would you watch another 10 episodes of it?
I'll fuck probably watch yeah. some more after this.
I can't believe how much I enjoyed this series rewatching it. It, like, completely unlocked lost memories of me caring immensely about this show.
Right? And then I definitely want to watch the Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans. But Jordan, you should definitely watch the Teen Titans Go movie because it's actually quite solid.
Yeah. No, I remember watching clips from it and being like, this is funny. Like, that's my whole relationship with Teen Titans Go. Like, when it came out, I was like, I think everybody thought this is going to suck. This is terrible. Oh my God. They completely, look what they did to my boy. But then you watch it and you're like, oh, that was funny. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They know what they're doing. All right.
Yeah. I think it actually is the last cameo appearance by Stan Lee in anything.
Aww. Oh yeah. David, what's your power word? Your superpower word. Your teen superpower word.
Mine is time capsule.
That's cheating.
Is time capsule two words?
That's two words. You have it written here as two words. Time space capsule in the note.
Mine will be nostalgia.
Okay, yeah.
How about you?
Teens.
Oh, those damn teens.
Those teens, and I was a teen when I watched it, and this is a great show for teens in general. And for most people.
I miss being a cool teen. I never was one, but I miss being one.
No actually cool teen thinks they're cool. Only the lamest teens think they're cool.
Thanks. Very cool. All right. So, Jordan, what's next?
Well, now we go into the shout-out.
Well, I want to kick things off by thanking you, Jordan, for editing this.
Oh, thanks, baby. You know I do it for you. Props to Shannon for the awesome cover art. You can find her online at Illuminati. Thank you, Dylan, for assistance with editing. You can find his podcast, Anime Out of Context, at animeoutofcontext.com. Thanks to Tucker for assistance with pronunciation, translation, and other miscellaneous research. Thanks to T-Root, Ozzy Rat, and T-Wolfwood. You know what, man? Trafalgar Wolfwood, thank you.
Oh, what a guy.
For being our awesome transcription volunteers, you can find them on our site as they become available. And David, I'd like to thank you so much for editing the main episode. And man, you're so important to me, David. You know, you can find us on Twitter at Shonen Flopcast and our website, shonenflop.com. We're also on Spotify, iTunes, and YouTube, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Join the Shonen Flop Discord. It's open to everyone, patron or not. You can join.
If you're listening to this, you're a patron.
I don't know. Maybe if you're showing this to your friend or your significant other, have them join. And then also become a patron, because, you know, come hang out with us and talk about anime, games, or whatever else is on your mind. We also have a book club and a monthly movie night. You can find a link to it in the show notes or on our site. If you've been enjoying the podcast and want to help us keep going, consider subscribing to our Patreon. We have a ton of awesome perks, like bonus episodes on Magu-chan, Lucifer, and Biscuit Hammer, and Lucifer and Biscuit Hammer, and also this is the part where
and the Biscuit Hammer
and the Unse Biscuit Hammer. Although at the same time, I feel like this is all incredibly redundant because you are again
a patron.
But join us during our show warm-ups. Join us during our show warm-ups.
Yeah,
help
we're
us
having
decide
a good time.
What we cover next.
Yeah,
you know?
Buddy.
Find us at patreon.com Shonen Flop. And by that I mean tell all your friends to find us at patreon.com/shonenflop. Because you're already cool and I love you.
Oh.
But that's everything. So without further ado, this has been Jordan.
This has been David.
And you've been listening to Shonen Flop, Dave. Oh, wait a minute. We did it backwards. This has been Jordan.
And you've been listening to Shonen Flop.
No, let's start over again.
Okay.
Sign off. Start over the whole thing. This has been Jordan.
This has been David. And you've been listening to Shonen Flop.
David. Say it!
Keep on flopping, you fucking patron
floppers. Bye. Bye.